And welcome in to the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. We got through the slowest sports day of the year, right? Absolutely nothing happening. Yep. Day of the year, and we're back to baseball and WNBA All-Star Weekend. But it's something.
Got sports going on right now.
Well, that's true. We have the Open. I know. And you told me it was sunny. I mean, I guess
it was earlier.
I do see. Yeah.
There was a brief glimpse of sunshine.
I can see a little blue in there.
Yeah. There's Rory. A dude out there in shorts. I was like, wow, this is a big day over there in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, that dude.
Sun's out.
That cameraman right there is in shorts.
Yeah, they're fired up over there.
Getting crazy out there in Northern Ireland.
It's far. How we doing? What's going on?
Oh, doing great. Beautiful scenery out here at the Open today. A little breezy still.
Yep.
But did see some sun poking out. So no rain yet.
No rain yet. That's the big thing. I'm sure it'll come at some point over there.
It looks a little cloudy
I
here.
I did
and
enjoy
there.
Like
it's a little threatening. Right
Jason
there.
Day got up on the podium yesterday and was just like, yeah, I've never seen anything like this over here in the weather that's over here. It's just the most unpredictable crap on the planet. And all the reporters over there were just looking at him like, what do you mean? It's like, well, it rains all the time, guys. It's 55 and raining over here all the time. That's what he means.
Some of you should take a vacation to another climate.
See how that might suit you at that point. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock, and we will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him as training camp opens next week. And we have just about made it, Joe. Next week is training camp, and then it's football season, and we go from there.
Yeah.
And then about 3 days into training camp, you're like, all righty.
Yep.
Let's get to some games.
And then there you go. But it's something. It's another step. So we're getting through the, you know, the college media days, getting toward the training camps. I guess what? That we're less than 2 weeks from that preseason opener, right? Right?
Yes.
Ian,
yes.
Yeah. Big,
technically
big
less
Lions
than 2 weeks.
Chargers. Yep. Big Lions Chargers Hall of Fame game.
31st.
Yeah.
Thursday.
That is early, right?
Seems early.
Yeah.
Have they had a July? Did they have the Hall of Fame game in July before?
They probably have.
I mean, this is as early as it could get, probably, given the Monday Labor Day.
Yeah.
September 1st.
Yeah, that does make sense then. Yeah. Yeah. That adds up. There you go.
It does.
So, yeah.
And fun. Then we can all turn on the Hall of Fame game. Look at the roster and say, huh.
And immediately turn it off.
They've got like a bunch of third stringers out here. Watch the opening play and then say, all right, boys, good job. See you guys later.
Well, I mean, if Hendon Hooker's going to play a lot of the game, I'll probably watch it, you know, see how he does.
Joe's a sicko. He's watching the whole Hall of Fame game.
I mean, with him in particular, I'm still a little – I think people are sleeping on. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Lions, you know, the whole Teddy Bridgewater thing. Some people are like, well, gosh, why would they bring in Teddy Bridgewater? Maybe because he gives kids impermissible benefits. I don't know.
Is Hendon Hooker the backup there? Or did they sign somebody
be
the actual
he
backup?
He is, but they brought in Bridgewater late last season. That's what I'm talking about. They brought in Bridgewater late last season, and then everybody's like, oh, my God, so Hendon Hooker's a – I'm like, well, I mean, maybe it means that. Maybe it means Hendon Hooker – just isn't working out. I've heard other things that apparently they really like him, you know, but Bridgewater obviously has experience, so they brought him in as insurance, as a, you know, a veteran guy who's actually played in games, and I don't know what it means. But I actually, if Hendon Hooker's, when he's playing in that game, I'll watch Hendon Hooker. You will not.
I love Hendon Hooker. I don't know that I'm going to be watching the Hall of Fame game because of Hendon Hooker.
Hey, man, I mean,
I'll be happy to watch his highlights after, though.
When we wander through the desert, you know, and you come across a tiny little
that's
pond.
True.
Yeah.
Growing up in Ohio, my dad's company had tickets to the Hall of Fame game. So we used to go a few times. It was like front row on the in the end zone.
There we go.
So sweet. I remember going to that a couple times when I was a kid. But I probably won't watch on TV. No.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, that's fine.
I think the greatest moment in the history of the Hall of Fame game was, weren't the Titans in there in like 09? 09 they played in the Hall of Fame game and did the fake punt, ran behind the back.
I don't remember the year, but they were in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do not remember that, but sounds exciting.
I do. That's my lone memory in the history of the Hall of Fame game is some punter pulled off a fake punt. He put the ball behind his back and then took off running and scored a touchdown for the Titans. And he was not their actual punter. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting that you would do that.
AJ Trapasso.
Yes. Okay. AJ Trapasso, Ohio Stater. Interesting that you would do that in a preseason game. It sounds like kind of a cool play, and it obviously worked.
It worked. It was like a – I'm looking at it now. It was like a like 40-some-odd-yard touchdown. Jeff Fisher, he came to win the Hall of Fame game.
I'm here to tell you. I guess so, man. You may be 8-8, but you're 1-0 in the Hall of Fame game.
That's right.
2009, yeah.
Yeah,
40 yards.
Hey.
Is that Jeff Fisher's last year?
I think the next year was.
10 was his last year, then Munchak in 11.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he went out with a bang.
Oh, you can't fire Jeff Fisher the same year that there's the fake punt touchdown Hall of Fame game.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
What kind of operation?
Bud Adams is like, whoa.
Oh, guys.
I'm back off
leave
now.
Leave alone. Yeah. We're going to have a big year this year. Titans did make a move yesterday. Jordan Mims coming in at the running back position. It's been, I guess, the battle for third running back this year, Joe. Going to be very interesting to see how this all goes down here.
Yeah.
There's like a bunch of names there.
Yeah, I don't know that Jordan Mims, you know, moves past anyone, moves the needle at all. It's interesting, though. They dropped a receiver whose name to me, it's like, gosh, don't they need as many bodies as possible at receiver? But, yeah, I mean, he hasn't done a ton. I mean, he was practice squad, you know, in 20, right? Practice squad in 23? I guess he was technically with the Saints. The last 2 years, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah.
But
his practice squad part of last year. He did play in 23.
He had 20 carries last year for 70 yards. So there you go. Three and a half yards per attempt last year for Jordan Mims.
So that makes the depth chart. I have to familiarize myself with. Obviously, you know, training camp is another training camp. Just like Mason Kinsey set to dominate, so is my guy.
Julius Chestnut?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. God.
Julius Chestnut. Well, I mean, think about running back right now. They
drafted the kid from Michigan, right?
Yeah, the Mullings kid, Khalil Mullings.
Who I am a fan of.
Yeah. So you've got already Pollard, Spears, Mullings, Chestnut, and now you can throw Mims in there, too. There's just five guys right there at running back.
There you go.
And let me tell you, all five of those guys are not making the team.
No, they're not. You know, it's like this guy who has played special teams. I mean, you know, someone like him. I mean, it's all about. That's what it's all about. Are you so indispensable on special teams that you can make the team? Because yeah, I mean, the three guys that I expect to be at running back on the active roster would be Spears, Pollard, Mullings. And that is a little bit of disrespect to Julius Chestnut, who is a pretty good freaking football player. As the preseason, you know, these are the things you can learn watching preseason football.
Yes.
But, you know, I think there's a clear intent there with him. I'm going to be really interested to see. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out. I mean, they drafted the other kid from Michigan who was good at Michigan. Hassan Haskins. He had some stuff too going on off the field, I guess, but still, you know, just didn't work out. But Mullings, as a very recent switch to running back, is intriguing.
I remember Titans fans yelling last year about Hassan. He's like, Hassan Haskins leaves the Titans and they go to the Chargers and it just works out. And it's like, okay, so let's look at the stats for Hassan Haskins last year, just running the ball.
I know he's a good special team player.
But he did end up with 34 carries last year.
He scored a touchdown against the Titans.
He did. He scored a touchdown against the Titans.
No coincidence. Harbaugh loves that stuff.
34 carries, 89 yards, 2.6 per carry, two touchdowns for Hassan last year.
I mean, a touchdown every 17 carries isn't bad.
That's not bad.
So, you know. Yeah, he's just sort of a guy, you know. Just sort of a guy. But he's one of Harbaugh's guys. So, but now the guy that they got who I think the Titans screwed up on is Molden.
Yeah.
Though, to be fair, Molden was hurt constantly here. But I always thought was a good player waiting to happen if he could ever be healthy. And, of course, he goes
versatile
there.
Versatile player.
Yeah. And I think the Titans, I think that was another one of, uh-oh, ran. Oh, the stove just blew up.
Ran, there's a four-alarm fire in the kitchen. What's going on?
Every bad move, we can make some kind of bad cooking reference now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We had Mike Herndon on yesterday and talked to him about a couple of position groups of concern with the Titans. And then you start going down the list, and boy, you end up finding a whole lot of them. So which position groups do we actually feel good about? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Going to get into the position groups here in just a few minutes. Do have one thought from Ed, want to get to on the text line. Says, would it shock you if Tony Pollard were cut? Really good player, but I wouldn't be shocked to see them moving away from any player from the former regime. This is from Ed on the text line. To answer your question, yes, it would stun me if they cut Tony Pollard this year.
Yeah, I'd be completely shocked. It would not shock you, Ed?
I don't want to confuse Tony Pollard for Derrick Henry or anything like that, but Tony Pollard's a pretty good player, and I think pretty clearly their best running back at the moment. So,
yeah,
I would not anticipate that happening.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, look, like, I guess the idea would be, first of all, Spears would be, like, amazingly better, but also that Mullings is incredible. I mean, Mullings has a chance to be a good back. I think he certainly has a chance to be a good short yardage back. But, yeah, Pollard is one of their best players in my mind, and also – you got a rookie quarterback coming in here, and very few things are better friends to a rookie quarterback than a running game.
Well, and like you said, not a whole lot of proven good NFL players on this roster. I would advise them at least for this year to hold on to the ones that they got.
Yeah,
and then maybe you start to tinker a little bit next year and give younger guys a shot at that spot. But yeah, I would assume Pollard going to be a heavy part of what they do offensively this year.
Yeah, I mean if some of the talk about Spears is comes to fruition and they can be a little bit more split, that's great. And then again, I think Mullings is the hammer. Yeah, and look, third and one in a big game, Colts fourth quarter, third and one, are they going to go to Mullings? Are they going to go to Tony Pollard? I'm still going to guess Tony
Pollard.
But yeah, it's good to have a power back option available to you, but I think that's all he is.
So we talked with Mike Herndon yesterday about position groups, and he had the tweet a couple days ago about, hey, look at that Titans inside linebacker room and look around the rest of the NFL and tell me how many position groups are worse than that one. And we talked about that, and then we brought up edge rusher and said, not great there either for the Tennessee Titans. You could pick a few with the Titans that you don't feel necessarily great about. I mean, Adam in Portland says punter. You're feeling good about punter. Hashtag Johnny Rocket, hashtag Stone Who, which I like that. That's good
Stone
stuff.
Stone Who.
Stone
nice.
Who. I like that. But, Joe, as you kind of go through it, there's not a ton of position groups that you feel great about on the Titans right now, which makes sense for a 3-14 team that just picked number one in the NFL draft. So, as you kind of go through this and you look at the position groups on the team, what are maybe the first few that come to mind that you actually feel good about if you're a Titans fan heading into this year?
I mean, I ranked them all. I did not include specialists. So
that's disrespectful.
All due respect. We know they're awesome. Again, it's like retiring Freebird and Stairway to Heaven.
Yes.
From the classic rock list. We know how good the specialists are. So I ranked them best to worst. So that would be the way at 1, 2, 3, 4. 10, right? 10 position groups. Yes. Okay. So my number one is defensive line. Now I'm including like Draymond Jones.
Okay.
There. And I know he's going to move around, but I consider him like a defensive end, a 3-4 defensive end in traditional terms. So I'm going there. And again, everybody complains about Jeff Simmons, and I get it. And you can complain about him, and you wish he was as great as he was, and is he earning his pay and all that stuff. He's the best football player on the team. And I think Tavondre Sweat is at least a presence and a solid player to have next to him. obviously they want it to be way better than that. I don't know if it will be, but even I'm still putting this number one, assuming that he makes just an incremental step from last year. So defensive line.
Going defensive line, number one. To me, it is between defensive line and the safety group at number one. I think, you know, I'm assuming health in all this too, which at the moment is the only thing I can do, and then we'll react to the information after that. If they're healthy, I kind of like their safety group, you know, with Hooker, Woods coming in, and then they drafted Winston. And I know some people looked at that and said, huh, that's a pretty high pick for Winston and the safety. But, I mean, if you read more about him and you hear people talk about him, if he's healthy, they think he has a chance to be a really good NFL player. Yeah. So I'm assuming health in this discussion. I think I'll go safety, number one.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I need to see it. I need to see it this year from the Simmons Sweat combo before I feel great about it.
Yeah. Well, I hear that. I think we do have to assume health, which is, I mean, at this point, I think that's just how you have to do these things, you know. We know there's going to be injuries. We don't know where they're going to be, so you're just looking at the healthy roster. I just, like with safety, like safeties are fourth for me. And I hear the stuff on Winston. I think eventually he's going to be really good. Woods is fine. I think Hooker, you could
argue.
That's
where assuming health could be a problem.
Well, not even that. You know, as a player, is he the same player? Like, I feel like he also was like we talk about Jeff Simmons, and we are going to do a 20. I did go through 2021 to compare to this for later, yep. But I just don't know that he's quite the same level of effective player either, even if he is healthy.
Fair.
That's why I have them a little lower. My number two is corners, which, again, obviously, big assumption pick, but it's with Snead. And, yeah, I mean, with Snead, with healthy Snead, you could make the case, I think, for them for number one, because Brownlee had a good rookie year, and we know McCreary is good. So, you know, they got a few other guys who have, like, Baker's been solid, you know, decent guy. They don't have Trey Avery, which is a big mistake. But, you know, you can't
not right
have
now.
Everything. Yeah. So
he could make his way back.
Yeah. Where is he, by the way? Do we know where Trey Avery is?
He's in San Francisco.
I know John Glenn. Glenn's going to make a trek out west and cover some more Trey Avery. But, you know, I think that could be a really good group. You know, I mean, like with both of those. I mean, I hear you on, like, I need to see it. But I have seen Sweat be solid. And again, Jeff Simmons, I don't think we're going to see Jeff Simmons get back to, like, all pro level. I mean, he was just rated the number four D tackle in the league. I think some of that is reputation.
Yes.
But he's good.
He's a good player.
I know he's good. I mean, I think he's the best football player on the team, which may not speak great of the whole thing. But I think that's the case. So then I go running backs over safeties. So okay. This is Ed and I definitely differ on this one because,
yeah.
You know, because he thinks he wants to cut Pollard. But
yeah.
I think Pollard's really good. I think Pollard's one of the best football players on the team. And, you know, I think Spears is interesting. I do think that there's something there. There's more there than they've gotten from Spears. So I feel pretty good about that position.
I think we have the same top four. It's just in different order. Like, I've got D-line at two, corner at three, and then running back at four. Even though, like, I will say, like, I feel pretty good about safety. I feel decent about defensive line, decent about corner, assuming health and all that. And really after that's where I start to be like, ugh. Yeah. Like, I like Tony Pollard. I haven't seen anything from Spears to this point. So, like, I hear what Brian Callahan said about him in the offseason, and hopefully that works. And, you know, their approach of trying to split carries up a little bit more and get Spears more involved in the offense, hopefully we see some of that this year. But it has been – I would describe it as very underwhelming from what we've seen from Spears to this point.
Yeah. No, for sure. And especially last year. I mean, I thought we saw more his rookie year that, okay. And, a year ago, we're going into camp, and it's like there were a lot of questions for both those guys about, so who is splitting duty? You know, like, it wasn't, like, obvious Pollard. And then eventually it's like, oh, yeah, Pollard's clearly the guy.
Yeah.
Part of him clearly being the guy was that he was very good, but also that Spears was disappointing. So, yeah, we'll see with that. That's probably why I have him third, but you're right. It's a little bit of a leap. And I agree. Those four position groups are the ones that D-line, corner, safeties. So three of the four are on defense, yep, and then running backs. And then the question mark, you have four that you feel reasonably good about, and then you have six that you, again, I mean, we hit Mike Herndon on yesterday. I think Mike Herndon might have O-line already listed.
You know where my number five is? It's O-line. And I know that would, if you're a Titans fan, that should probably scare the crap out of you based on what you've seen from the offensive line. But I think that also kind of shows you. Or excite you.
Yeah, I mean, Warren Sharp, sharpfootball.com, yeah, they kind of had their positional rankings. I just went through and their grade. But their O-line is the highest grade for them. 19th in the NFL.
Yeah.
Ranked. Okay.
Get excited, Titans fans.
Hey, man, if they have the 19th best line in the NFL, then you should celebrate. Like, you won't be.
It's a massive improvement from what it's been.
You won't have to cover your eyes for like an hour and a half of the 3 hours every Sunday.
Please get to 19th. Get to 19th.
I mean, that'd be all right. That is not my fifth, by the way. I have receivers over offensive line. And again, basically based on, I mean, I think Ridley is also one of the best players on the team. Then there's and Herndon talked me a little bit into like the Lockett thing is, I think I have like Tyler Boyd PTSD and the first names are the same.
Yep.
So it's like another Tyler.
He will be better than Boyd.
He will be better than Boyd.
Yeah.
How good will he be? I don't know, but I think he's solid, you know? And so if you have a solid guy and you have a guy you expect to have 1,000 yards, I'm going with that certainty, and then there's a whole bunch of uncertainty after it, but I'm going with that certainty over, I mean, an offensive line that, like, who do we know is really a good player? I mean, I would say
Zeitler has been, but he's Zeitler getting up there.
Been. You're right. Zeitler has been, and Cushenberry has been too, and Yeah, everyone's blown away by him. I don't know if you're blown away by a center anyway.
Well, he's banged up, too.
Then he's banged up, too. So that's one of those where you're talking about assuming health. But I think we should probably expect it's going to be a month into the season, right?
You would think, yeah.
So that's why I put them behind receivers.
Well, and I am – one of the off-season themes for me, and we're going to talk about it a lot as we get into camp, too. Like, my standard for J.C. Latham this year is going to be unbelievably high. Like, you drafted him to be your franchise left tackle. You moved him over to the right. I need him to be dominant from the jump. I'm not talking about, hey, let's wait till week six and see what J.C. Latham plays like. The first week, I have high expectations for J.C. Latham. So part of my ranking of the offensive line is because I think at least to some degree he's going to live up to that. Otherwise, we're going to be having a very different conversation about all that moving forward here, because if that doesn't happen this year, to me that is a enormous problem. And probably is going to end up being an enormous indictment on the coaching staff too.
I agree, and I expect it too. I can't sit there and say that I know it's going to happen.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
I feel okay about it.
I had receiver at six, and then beyond that, Joe, it starts to get real hard, right? Like you start looking around and you're like, okay, well, how do you factor quarterback into this? You got a rookie quarterback that's never taken a snap in the NFL, and then some backup options that I would call extremely underwhelming. You've got an inside linebacker group that we talked about yesterday that I would agree with Herndon that everybody's probably playing one notch higher at this point than they probably should be in their career. You've got an edge rusher group that scares the absolute crap out of me. We'll get into all that coming up next. In terms of the Titans, the position groups, we'll take your thoughts on all that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Talking all things Tennessee Titans, 615-737-1025. Going through the position groups, and Joe, I mentioned it. You know, we got about five or six down. And once I hit about the fourth position group in my rankings, which is running back, I start to look at it and go, huh, I don't know, man. I don't feel great. And once you get through running back, you get through offensive line, I guess quarterback you throw in there too, because, I mean, there's a natural level of excitement for Cam Ward, even though he hasn't done a thing yet, and the backup options behind him I do not like. So we'll see what happens on that front. Once you get to about 7, 8, 9, and 10 for the Titans and looking at those positions, it's rough out there, Joe. It could be bad. How do you have the bottom part of the position rooms for the Titans?
Yeah, so receivers, O-line. So O-line would be what, six? And then my next one is QB.
Same.
And, you know, it's just you hope if you're a Titans fan that that's up the list quickly this year. But I think that's a fair place to put it. I feel like Cam Ward has a lot of talent, has a chance to be good. We'll see. Will Levis still here now? Again, I guess
see how that goes.
Just as you assume health, I guess you assume no trades. I still think that's a possibility at some point, you know, during August. You know, see what happens. Someone gets somebody hurt, whatever. I mean, that always happens, right? But look, when it comes down to it, though Levis is obviously a risk taker, that is talent at QB2.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's talent at QB2. And then Brandon Allen. But, yeah, so there's
Tim Boyle.
And, yeah, Tim Boyle, yes. So I have them six. And then my next one after that is I go tight ends next. Chig's okay. You've seen a little bit from Wiley. They're okay. They're serviceable players.
Don't love it.
Bringing in the rookie. I like the rookie. Gunnar Helm, we'll see. I think that, I mean, it'd be interesting. So Ian, I don't know if you have that access to it. So you had offensive line 19.
Correct.
What's their next? Do you know their next best?
Yes, I do. Well, they're grouping them a little bit differently. It's just listed as secondary.
Okay. Well, that's so, all together. Okay. So that would be
DBs and safeties. They have them as 25th.
And that's the thing. I mean, like, we feel good. Like, those are both in our top four.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one. Running backs is 23.
Okay. There you go.
And then secondary, 25. Quarterbacks, 27. Front seven, 31.
Oh, boy.
Wide receivers and tight end, 32.
Yep.
Head coach, 30.
There you go.
Wide receiver and tight end. Okay, they put them together like that. That's kind of weird. Okay. Hold on. So who's 31 and 32 at coach?
I have to check.
I'm not saying I think Brian Callahan's the worst coach in the NFL. I just, like, 1 year of three wins. You got a good chance to be 32 in the rankings.
Well,
which
he was two of the new guys.
The new guys.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Jacksonville is 31 and Schottenheimer Cowboys 32.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
The unknown.
Saints 29. And the Giants and the Jets tied for 27. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So they don't split up tight ends because I'd like to, but, you know, and maybe in some of these cases they're being a little bit underrated, you know. A tight end is, I mean, for being your third from last or second from last? Yeah, for being from your second from last position, you at least have guys who have made some plays.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not exciting. It's not inspiring.
Here's what I would love to know. Like, the secondary part of that. You heard, I guess, was that Warren Sharp?
Correct. Sharp football.
So, Sharp football.
Mm-hmm.
They grouped it together. And we're assuming health and all this. How good is L'Jarius Sneed right now if he's healthy? That's what I'd love to know. Because
it's a great question.
Like, you know, last year, what did he play? 5 games? And in those 5 games, it's not like he was out there just dominating. Now, the situation around him wasn't very good. We know that. And the pass rush wasn't very good. But, you know, we had discussions on the show of, been a little suspect out there from L'Jarius Sneed at times. Now, how much of that was an injury in the quad and all that stuff, I don't know. But how good is he now, given everything that's happened with him, with the quad, with the knee concern that, you know, assuming health means I'm assuming he's on the field, not that he's 100% healthy all the time. How good of a player is he at 28? Like, does L'Jarius Sneed at full health even approach being what he was a couple years ago from Kansas City? Ever again as a member of the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a big question. I feel like last year wasn't enough for me to say, oh, he's definitely just diminished as a player. Like, you know, like you said, it wasn't anything special. There was a lot going on with the football team that wasn't good. I mean, I can't imagine. I'd be surprised if he's like peak L'Jarius Sneed. But I think he's still – I would not be surprised if he's a pretty good player. If he's like, okay, that's a –
It's not like he's old. He's 28.
Yeah, that's a good starting cornerback in the NFL. you would take that. And that's kind of like my expectation, which, again, first of all, is he playing? But we have to assume that. My expectation is solid, pretty good, good, right in that range, and that still makes corner second for me, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be – because that, to me, sets the tone for the rest of that group. Is like, what exactly are you getting there? Are you getting all-pro-level cornerback play? Are you getting quality starting-level cornerback play? Are you getting, like, man, this guy looks like he's really diminished as a player-level cornerback play? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to get out of that. So that part of it's going to be interesting. All right, the last few positions that you've got there. Who's the last which position group is last on your list?
So my last two are – well, I go edge, and then I go inside linebackers. And again, Herndon did – when Herndon laid it out yesterday, I guess it's like you don't even think about that position that much. But when you do, it's like, again, edge – Arden. I know Arden Key can play in an NFL game.
Yes.
And I know that he has a chance – you know, he'll make some plays. I also know that Oladejo is a talent as a rookie, and they spent a high pick, and yes, he may be raw, and it may take more time than a lot of rookies or whatever, but okay, I'll take that. Inside linebackers, I just don't know what there is. You know, you're sitting there, like Mike said, you're hanging your hat on Cody Barton.
Yeah.
And you got Cedric Gray and James Williams, and you better freaking hope one of those guys, the light goes on, and it's, like, really good. And then, your depth is the other guy. What are the odds that both of them are going to kind of figure it out like that, right?
It's bleak.
And I understand that some people are going to say, middle linebacker in today's NFL. I mean, I disagree. I understand I'm going to pay more to an edge. I understand that. I'm going to pay more to a top corner on defense and even a dominant defensive tackle. But again, let's go around the league and look at, like, when you have a difference making inside linebacker, what that can do for your team. Look at San Francisco in recent years. Look at like Matt Milano in Buffalo when he's healthy or when he's not. And to me, this team, some of its best stuff, you know, and we're going to do some comparisons with 2021. You know, think about what they were getting from
David Long?
Thank you. Yep. David Long Jr. for a couple of years. I mean, he was making plays all over the place. Those guys, you know, when they have instincts and they run around and make plays and they can help in the pass game, that's a lot of value there.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We got a lot of your Titans thoughts to get to, which we will do coming up next. We will also get into an exercise looking back not that long ago. In the grand scheme of things, it's the Tennessee Titans and where they are now. Is literally everything worse? Or is there some hope? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, on my personal text line, my dad texted me and said, if Joe's still trying to get those last-minute discount Coldplay tickets, yesterday's news is going to build up a demand for those things. They want to go ahead and strike there, Rex Road.
Woo, baby. I don't know that, you know, we talk about things going viral. This thing is gone. This thing is gone.
It's gone
viral. If anybody is listening right now and doesn't know what we're talking about without
just look
explaining
up Coldplay.
It. Yeah. Just Coldplay picture. Just look up Coldplay and CEO.
Yeah.
Would probably guarantee you'd see the loving co-workers. is this like what Mark was talking about with me going to
Bonnaroo? Mark, I'm referring to my daughter.
Yeah, my daughter's name is Caroline. Thank you. But that would have been a nice day with a co-worker.
It would have, except for this year, apparently, when it got flooded out down there.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's really interesting. That,
tough day for that HR department.
Yeah, especially because that was the head of that department.
Yes, yes.
How do you deal with that? Like, when the head of the HR department is one of the people involved in this thing, like, what do you – I guess you got an assistant, right? Number two better step in and
– I thought that, the awkward lady next to him was HR number two.
Well, was she?
That's a
pretty good chance she was.
Maybe, you know.
My goodness.
That hand aside, it's like, you know, promotion could be coming here. You never know.
Hey, you in the mailroom. We need an HR director. My goodness.
Oh, boy.
That was interesting. I hope the show was good. I'm sure they could at least afford the tickets to the
Everyone else around them seemed to be having fun.
Yeah, everybody was like, yeah, they did. We're on camera. Like,
oh, I'm hopping in here.
I saw a video, and I don't remember when it was from. I don't know if it was recently or not, but like Roger Federer ended up at a Coldplay concert and got put on the screen as well, and he did not run away from the camera on the screen. He was just fine.
Yeah, it's funny
he
you say that.
Right there.
I saw that too, and then I was like, did you really leave the camera on him for like an entire minute?
It was a long time.
Like, okay.
He's like, all righty.
I'm going to wave again. Thanks,
like
everybody.
15th time I've waved to the camera. Thank you.
Roger, do you have anybody that you'd like to spoon with on camera? Inappropriate. Okay.
Nice Swiss man. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Is that right? Is that how it works?
Good friend of Roman Yossi.
Switzerland.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was something. That's a good question. What did that do
the ticket prices?
Like, what kind of crazy crap are you going to see at the next Coldplay concert? Great. Now the prices have gone up even more.
Joe, we are going back 4 years, which, again, hard to believe. 4 years ago, Titans heading into that season, number one seed, ended up being the number one seed in the AFC, and as we know, lost to the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs after that, and everything seemingly has gone downhill since then. So the question is literally every part of this football team worse since then, or do Titans fans have some hope as they're trying to build this thing out moving forward here?
The quick answer is no. Now I need to make sure, though, because we should consider specialists. Yeah, they had Kern and Bullock on that team, and you know Bullock was. So I guess you could make the case. Yeah, but you know what? I mean, Kern was obviously. I think that was his last year.
I believe that is correct.
Stonehouse was 22, rookie,
yes.
Right? So, I mean, I know people are excited about Hecker. I'd call that a push because. With the kicker here, you know, we just don't know. And Bullock was fine. He just is like, you knew you needed to upgrade a little bit, but I mean,
he was mini leg.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of distance on it, but no. Okay, so I'm going to go through him real quick.
Okay.
D line, obviously, that team, it was Simmons. And I'm counting Autry and Tier Tart, you know, like that was, yeah. Running backs, okay, Derrick Henry. By the way, Jeremy McNichols, and shout out to Darrington Evans. Safeties, I mean, a better version of Hooker, Kevin Byard, you know, Crookshank, but yeah, way better to me with Byard at that point in his career. And Hooker at that point in his career. Receivers, yeah, AJ Brown, sorry. Julio, who didn't have a great year, but did some stuff. You know, that team had Marcus Johnson, by the way.
Yeah.
Who, when he was healthy, made some plays. NWI kind of emerged. Big
Marcus Johnson had a 100-yard game that year.
He did against the Saints.
Yep.
Offensive line, I mean, Luan, I mean, this is where it's just like we're talking about different sports almost. Luan, Saffold, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, and then over there you got Tyson Briarlow, you got some Quessenberry. Even depth beyond them, you have Radins and Brewer. Like, it's insane how different it is. And if that was Luan, you know, he blew his knee midway through 2020. He played in 21. He early on in 21, he came back early. Remember, he got crushed in the
– Oh, yeah.
David Luan, back on the field! But, I mean, that's a heck of an offensive line. Quarterback, I mean, you know, Tannehill, it wasn't his best season. His best two seasons were 19 and 20, but, you know, way different. Edge, I mean, you know, Landry. I mean, Bud Dupree, people forget, that was the window, especially second half of that season where he really took off. Rashad Weaver is a third guy, Larrell Murchison. Inside linebackers, David Long Jr., Rashawn Evans, Jayon Brown.
Yeah.
So, two areas that I'm going to – I absolutely think, again, the way we're doing this, which is L'Jarius Sneed is playing and he's at least pretty good.
Sure.
I mean, their corner group then was Janoris Jenkins, Christian Fulton, you know, Chris Jackson. They had Eric Mull. I mean, I think that corners gets the edge in 2025.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you about this one, tight ends. Do you remember the tight ends on that team?
Was it Firkser?
Firkser, yeah. And Jeff Swaim.
Yeah.
I think the tight ends are better on this team.
It's pretty close. You could definitely make the argument, yes.
Swaim is not good.
No, Swaim is not good.
I mean, I know Chig's like
Chig and Wiley aren't good either. They're better than Swaim, though, yes.
Yeah, and then you have hope with the rookie.
Yeah.
I think two positions. 2025 Titans, congratulations. Give him a banner. The Preds would raise a banner for you. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I said
man.
That.
Jared from Spring Hill doesn't want to hear any of that. It says he wants to go ahead and stop you. Everything is worse. Keeps getting worse since the AJ trade. Even when they were 7-3 with no AJ, I didn't believe they could sustain any success. Everything is worse. This is from Jared from Spring Hill.
I'm not surprised you said that. A lot of people would say that, but I stand by it. Corner and tight end are better on this team.
I think you can make that argument for sure.
And maybe the specialists. And maybe like the special teams overall, when you consider bringing in a proven good coach and, you know, some good specialists. So, see,
we're trying to create a little hope here for Titans fans. There we go. I like it.
It's an interesting, you know, interesting thought. I'm not necessarily trying to create a lot of hope.
It would be great if, to your point, very quickly into this thing, that quarterback, which I believe we had seventh on the list, moves up to like number one. That would be great. If Cam Ward is so good early on, then it's like, yep, that's the position we feel the best about right now. That would be awesome.
Well, yes. And then I bet you some of those other positions probably
would elevate.
Yeah, probably would elevate. McCannon on the YouTube chat says Tannehill was solely responsible for the rise and fall of the Titans. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the funny thing is
they did have Derrick Henry.
Yeah, during the rise, there were some people like, yeah, Tannehill, yeah. You got Derrick Henry. Now, that was also a little bit simplistic, right? He was great. I mean, Tannehill was really freaking good for a couple years in particular. And I still think very good in 2021. He had some ups and downs, but unfortunately that ended with the ultimate
downer. The downest of down.
And then all of a sudden you're looking for another quarterback. But he wasn't. I don't think it was solely him on either of those. And I do think that you can look at, you know, not that we need to revisit the hours and hours we've spent picking apart that Bengals loss, but I don't think Todd Downing helped him too much that day.
No, I don't think he did. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Got a lot of your Titans thoughts to get to. We will do that coming up next. Later next hour, we will get into a massive deal that was signed yesterday in the National Football League. Got the Rob Rant coming up at 745, Teron Davenport at 8, all that ahead. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025, 1063, The Game.